there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You are listening to Cats with the Dish. I'm John Katzlamitas. I write the Cats Report in Las Vegas Sun, Las Vegas Weekly, in print in Las Vegas Sun, and I write for all the Greenspun Media Group publications. And joining me is one of the prominent figures in this city, the beautiful Trish McCrone. Trish.
Wow, that was such a nice intro.
You're welcome.
And do I for a second there,
it's
I was
heartfelt.
Like, do I have one of the most prominent figures, maybe? No? I'm just kidding.
I'm not touching that.
I'm a little old. Oh, not again, anyway. No, I'm kidding.
Back on my face.
So what's it going? I've been gone. So literally,
you've been in Florida.
Yeah, we literally.
The Gem State.
Recorded.
The Aloha
yes,
State.
We literally, since we last left, we had Halloween.
We had Halloween.
Yes, November
right.
came in.
That's right. We have had Halloween. We have had an election. We changed
yes.
the seasons.
Yes, a lot has happened. I went away to Miami for a few days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was amazing. I went to actually Fort Lauderdale, Lighthouse Point, Miami, Palm Beach. I kind of
That's
went
near
around.
Cuba.
Yes, exactly. But I went to a really incredible event.
Tell me about it. I don't even know
it
this.
It was the Miami Make-A-Wish Ball. For the Make-A-Wish Foundation.
A very, very good, great philanthropic organization.
Yes, and it's a family
yes,
by the name, Alvin Malnick and his family are the big, who actually has a very interesting, doing research on him, he has a very interesting story. You'll have to look him up.
But he's
a big philanthropist, and his son is dating the actress who was in Scent of a Woman, as she's on Burn Notice, Gabrielle Anwar.
Oh.
Who is gorgeous. So
she
I spent a lot of time
hot.
With Gabrielle Anwar over the Sharif is her boyfriend. He was the son of Alvin. And they were the main people that put together this ball. And
oh, cool.
It was incredible. There was a lot of celebrities there, Christian Slater and obviously mm-hmm. Wayne Newton. And
Newton
so it was a lot, some reality show people that I saw, but that it was a lot. It was just a really incredible event. And the first thing that came out was Mr. Malnick, Al, as I met him.
You're on a first name basis.
Yes. He just announced he was giving $1 million right off the bat. So then it came
to the foundation.
Yes, Gabrielle Anwar started the things to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Gabrielle Anwar started the proceedings and went on to say, okay, you can give 20 wishes for $100,000. Do you know that to do a wish, it is literally one wish is... What is that? $5,000?
Is that right?
$10,000?
I don't know what it is.
Whatever the math is, I should be able to figure that out. But $100,000 is 20 wishes, so I would imagine it's $50,000 a wish or something.
I was led to believe there would be no math.
Whatever.
Anybody
with
a calculator,
call in. But it's quite expensive. And a lot of these people were just, and this is before the side, were just donating for wishes, just basically just giving the money. And then I also met a very interesting character who reminds you of me, a cross between Carlos Santana and Keith Richards. And he owns
Who is
this
Keith Richards?
Island in Fiji, which he just bought. Him and his wife, she's this Australian pro surfer. And they bought this, and they're actually in town right now.
You're making this up.
For the Soul Train Awards. They're in town right now for the Soul Train Awards. So
I was wondering where the Soul Train Awards were going to fit into this
crazy
story.
Thing. Like, and this guy owns this island. I mean, he's like, I think my niece counted like 30-some rings on his fingers, that he is one of these characters that you just want to hang out with. One of the coolest guys. And he bought this island, cleared it out, and now it's this huge resort that people can't get into, and he auctioned off 10 days for family in the resort for some ridiculous amount of money. So it was just one of those really, really cool events that I didn't plan on going at the last minute.
I didn't even know you were doing this. Yeah.
I didn't know either. I thought I was going
Not
vacation.
Not that I need to know everything you do.
Had to go rush and buy a black tie gown, and it was very cool. So I had a really nice time, and it ended up I was a part of an incredible charity that I was honored to be a part of, the Make-A-Wish Foundation. I met some of the children that
Frank
have been
Marino's a big Make-A-Wish guy in town from Lacage.
So
fame.
I met some of the children that have been helped. And
great.
It was a nice evening. So how was your time while I was gone?
Relatively speaking, pretty routine. I went to Bagatelle, the soft opening of Bagatelle at the Tropicana. The supper club they've got opened over there is coming online in the next few days.
Is the actual like party Is it like house music pounding fun? Like,
it's not quite like that. It's a supper club that has, it's kind of got an STK kind of vibe to
so
it.
So it's different than what has been in there in the past.
Yes, it's an actual, they serve food. It's a supper club. Before it was Nikki Beach and then RPM, and it was a
yeah,
nightclub
kind of
exclusively.
The same place. Yeah. Like, to and me, the it design, was the same place, different name.
You're right. It was very similar in those two incarnations. What they've done here is they've made it all white with beautiful brown effects and a giant chandelier in the middle of this room that is breathtaking in the middle of that old club. And the booth seating is fantastic. And out and back in the pool area, they've added some acreage out there. They built another pool back there. Bagatelle has Jonathan Siegel of the One Group is the one who put all this together. So it will be open to the public by the middle of November, I think, or maybe by November 10th or so. So that's a big deal. And a lot of stuff just kind of opening up. Taylor Hicks is back in town over Bally's. Sin City Comedy is
opening its
club this week. That's
also
over at the Planet
Hollywood.
Also,
we should put out a friend of both of ours, the incredible chef Carla Pellegrino, is Top Chef, starts
Top
actually
chef
tonight, which is Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
So catch it in the reruns on Bravo, and then you can start again from next week. She's debuting in Top Chef, which is going to be interesting because those of you who don't know Carla, she is one of the most incredible, fun characters in this town.
We're going to have her on. Yeah. I had a pizza and a salad with her last night over at her new place, Meatball Place, and she's left the Tropicana.
The Meatball Spot.
Meatball Spot. The Meatball Emporium, the Meatball Place. Meatball Spot.
Yes.
So what else is going on in town? Zarkana, John. That's right, at Aria.
Am I here? I throw my voice.
We have the music director for Zarkana replacing Viva Elvis at Aria. Huge hype behind the show. He put all the music together, protege of Elton John. His name is Nick Littlemore. But first, Josh Bell with movies. Stick around. I know we will.
Viva Las Vegas.
This is Cheza, Pete Diva with The Peep Show, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish.
I've been waiting to see who would redeem the chip. You made such a bold entrance into a little drama.
Did I overcomplicate the plot?
Who doesn't appreciate the occasional twist, Mr.
Bond? James Bond.
That's Daniel Craig as iconic super spy James Bond in the latest Bond adventure, Skyfall. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. When Daniel Craig took over as James Bond with 2006's Casino Royale, the long-running franchise took a conscious step away from the campiness that had become one of its defining qualities, and it focused instead on serious, intense action. That approach successfully reinvigorated the series, and while it continues with Skyfall, which is Craig's third outing as Bond, a number of familiar past elements also return, striking an excellent balance between the grim modern Bond and the globe-trotting adventurer of the past. Judi Dench is especially strong in this movie in her final performance as Bond's boss, M, who forms the movie's emotional center. Like most James Bond movies, Skyfall meanders through a number of set pieces before finally getting down to the main conflict, which involves Javier Bardem as a mysterious adversary from M's past.
I won't miss next time, Mr. Silva.
Not bad. Not bad, James, for a physical wreck.
Why? Thank you.
You got me. Now, here's your prize.
The plot here is less convoluted and more emotionally resonant than the previous two series installments. The movie's climax, which brings together Bond's past, the relationship between Bond and M, and Bardem's villain's classically diabolical plan, wraps things up in a deeply satisfying way, making Skyfall Daniel Craig's most effective Bond movie yet. I give Skyfall 3.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Joining us now is one of the more important members of the creative team for Zarkana, the new Cirque du Soleil production that has opened at Aria at City Center. The show replaces Viva Elvis, which closed in August. Zarkana is moving out from Radio City Music Hall in New York to high anticipation, to say the least. And with us now on the phone is its music director, Nick Littlemore. Nick, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So where are we talking to you from? Where are you right now?
I'm in Las Vegas.
You are in Las
Yay!
Vegas.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm hanging out for the premiere tonight. It's going to be quite exciting.
So what's going through your head right now? What are the challenges, the thoughts? How do you feel?
Well, you know, I had a rather late night with the director last night, and we had quite a bit too much sake, so it's hard to say what's going through my head. It feels a little pickled.
How is it that with your accent you can make hungover sound so charming?
Really?
And pickled, for that matter.
And pickled, for that matter. I must say that I am a sucker for an Australian accent, so I'm just enjoying listening. If I don't say a lot here, it's just because I am completely in a trance from your accent.
So it's strange, you know, anywhere I go in the world, every time I hear an Australian accent, I do tend to run.
Oh, really?
But that's just me.
I should have been with you guys last night. But really, what is the show in good repair right now? Is there,
you know, it's never felt better, and this theater, it just fits right in there. It's snug, you know?
Yeah. Well, it came out from Radio City Music Hall, as we mentioned. I saw the show back there in New York. And I'm just wondering how the sound comparison is for somebody who has to, you know, work in that world. Aria, was built for, largely for, great sound in the Viva Elvis production. How did you find, what's the distinction between those two venues for you?
Yeah, I find it here, it's a lot tighter, you know. I loved working at Radio City because it's such a beautiful theater, and it was the first amplified theater in North America, and you know,
yeah.
Obviously it's a very special place to be a part of, and I used to say to my girlfriend, I'm going to my office, and it would be Radio City. And
that's very cool.
But there's something about it here, it feels right, you know, it feels really right. And I love that Vegas is changing, it's becoming more of a family-oriented place and destination, and this show, it's got dark moments, but really it's a fairy tale, and it's perfect for every age, I think.
Now, I have not seen Zarkana as Cat's Head, but from what I've been told, and obviously you'd be the person to explain this, that whereas the other Cirque shows in town, other than Love and Viva Elvis, which obviously is no longer here, that they're more that ethereal kind of new age type music. And the music in this show is completely something that Cirque has never done. Is that true?
Yeah, the music in the show is, I mean, we kind of started out looking at it as though it was kind of an acid trip, for want of a better term. So the references were things like Pink Floyd,
mm-hmm.
the Beatles, Brian Eno, and early Roxy Music.
Love Brian Ferry and Roxy Music.
You know, and things like that. And obviously, I worked with Sir Elton John on pieces in the show, and he was my mentor. So, you know, there's bits of Elton in there, and it's, you know, it's a colorful show.
Yeah, you've been described as, and are in fact, a protege of Elton John.
How does one become a protege of Elton John is
that?
What I want to know.
How did you make that divide?
He just gave me a call one day.
Mm-hmm. This happens to musicians all the time.
Yeah, like, but how did he know to get in touch with you?
Yeah, take us back to the beginning there.
Okay, he was touring in Australia, and he found my record in the Megastore or whatever, and he liked it so much, he was having dinner that night with a mutual friend of ours, Toni Collette, who's an actress you might know.
Yes, she's mm-hmm. brilliant.
And he told her all about this band he discovered, and she said, well, they're represented by my agent, and here's his number. He called me the next day and said, I really love your record. And I said, well, I really have to meet you. You can't just say that and then get on a plane back to England.
Wow. That's big to say to Elton John.
No, you can't do that. You stayed, right?
Yeah, well, I met him, and then we flew over. We were touring in the UK a couple of weeks later, and we never went home.
Wow.
And after about a month, Elton called me up and said, I want to give you the rights to all my recordings. And we made a record out of that, and it came out actually just only last week in the United States. It's called Pinal vs. Elton John.
Wow.
Yeah.
Versus Elton John?
It came out in summertime in England and went number one. And yeah, so good things.
It's been suggested that Elton himself would have been the first choice for the Cirque officials to do the music for Zarkana, and that you were so closely aligned with him by then that they liked you and he contributed, you know, kind of peripherally. Is that about right? Were they really interested in him initially, himself?
The way it was kind of introduced to me is that he would be instated as my mentor.
Okay.
And I was given the opportunity really to pitch on the job. And I was living in London at the time. I put together a 14-piece band full of gypsies and pikeys.
right?
And illegal immigrants and all that. just kind of imagined what the scale of Cirque, you know, it's always been an epic thing in my mind. So
yeah, and music is really important to this particular show. I wrote a story about Zarkana that's going to be out. That is out now. It's the cover of Las Vegas Weekly. And Danielle Lamar explained, the president of Cirque, explained to me that the difference between this show and other existing Cirque shows in Las Vegas, and there are six others right now, is that it's the company's first and only rock opera, and that makes the music paramount. How did you approach writing the music originally and putting the music in the show? Because and at the time you did it, if I'm not mistaken, it had English lyrics
being
sung, which it doesn't have now.
No, you know, the lead character, Zark, for all intensive purposes, was me, and I was paralleling my own life of going through trying to find the right woman, so to speak.
Right, literally, in this show.
So, you know, I sung all the original demos, and my voice is probably closely akin to something like Iggy Pop rather than the operatic voice that we have now. You know, obviously we sculpted things and made it more beautiful and all the rest of it. But, you know, it really came from the heart, the whole show.
And how long did it take?
3 years.
Wow.
So this is based on an actual experience of yours?
Well,
Zarkana,
I mean,
in a way?
You know,
is there an actual woman? is there an actual woman involved in your life who's was the muse for Zarkana?
Well, I mean, initially, you know, the story's kind of shifted as we've sculpted, and this is what I love about Cirque. You have the opportunity to keep sculpting and keep making something and tightening things up, and things evolve. So there were many women, I suppose, without sounding like a playboy, along.
You've already established
you
your playboyism here.
But, you know, I mean, you know, I think within every woman, you know, they're infinitely complex, and there is such a range of colors and things to explore, you know?
I've never found that to be true.
He just thinks we're all one-dimensional.
I don't know. I'm not writing any music about it, though. What do you think about the language that Cirque uses in this show? And it's the Cirque, kind of the implied language that they use in all their shows. What do you think of the telling of a story in a way that is really unspecific?
Well, I mean, when I was first asked to change it into the nonsensical language, or what do they call it?
I call it Cirque speak, but I don't know if there is an actual name for it. Cirque speak or
Cirque-ish. Yeah, you know, I found it a little confronting at first, but I think, and I was listening to David Byrne actually the other day, and he was talking about music and lyrics, and he said that it's more about the sound of the lyric than it is necessarily about the meaning of it.
Yeah, he's written, there's a lyric in a song by Talking Heads where he addresses this, if I'm not mistaken, where words are just an excuse for people to pay attention to the music, something
right.
to that effect, right?
Right.
And Paul Bisson, is the lead character, has said that he's more like an instrument with this language rather than an actual vocalist.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I mean, Paul's a very interesting character.
Yes, he is.
And to see him perform is an awe-inspiring moment. And one thing, it's interesting because Cirque have always been quite particular in saying to me that we don't have stars in Cirque. The whole show is the star, and it's an experience. You know, mm-hmm. No one is more important than anyone else. But when you're watching this man on stage, and as much magic and all the rest that's going on at the same time, He definitely has a rock star feeling to him, you know.
Yeah, for all the activity and dish, you'll see this when the show goes on. You kind of don't know where visually to focus on the show, but your eye does go to him quite often. He's a very commanding presence.
Very much so.
And I've also felt like he looks like Guy La Liberté. You ever notice that? He looks just like Guy. He could play Guy, or Guy could play him. But it's like the magic of Cirque, I guess, makes it come around.
Right, right.
Hey, have you had a chance to see Elton John's show, speaking of Elton John?
Yeah, I caught up with him the other day and went to the show. I've been twice, actually, since I've been in town.
Yeah, what do you think of that?
I think it's cool. I really love watching his percussionist, actually. He's my favorite.
Oh, Ray Cooper?
Yeah. He's such a gentleman. And, you know, he's 73, and he is the most active person in that show. He's
I have to tell you, Nick, I've got a Ray Cooper story. I was in I go to a lounge show every Monday night at the Palms Hotel, and it's a horn band called Santa Fe and the Fat City Horns, and there were some musicians for Elton John's band who, you know, they just returned to this Coliseum, and I happened to be sitting next to Ray Cooper at this show, and Ray had his head down, his eyes closed the entire time, and just absorbed the music.
Oh, he's such a guru.
Yeah, he did not look at that band for 90 minutes. It was incredible.
Yeah, he is music, you know. He was playing with the Beatles, and he's such a groover.
And Eric Clapton, you play a number of instruments also, right?
Well, I'm a real hack, to be honest.
I see a list of instruments here. I wanted to ask you about trombone.
Trombone? Really?
Yeah, I see.
Katz is obsessed with the trombone.
I've always had a thing about the trombone. Do you play the trombone with any aptitude?
Actually, I did play the sousaphone once.
Sousaphone?
Yeah, you know what that is, right?
Yes, no. Yes.
I know what a cell phone is. I play that. What is a sousaphone?
No, it's that thing in the States, they have it in the marching bands at the football.
Oh, okay. So it's a trombone-like instrument. Is that right?
Yeah, it's like a tuba, but it's like way bigger, and you sit it on you.
Okay.
It's usually the larger guy in the marching band at the back.
Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, this is a marching band exclusive instrument almost, as I've seen it.
Yeah, it is. We used one actually in the initial demos for the show, but...
Well, but you appear to be quite a svelte, thin man.
Well, I've been eating pretty well since I've been in Vegas.
So I can't imagine you playing that instrument because my mind automatically goes to the big guy in the band, in the high school band.
Yeah, I mean, I had a different kind of technique. I was really just playing Little Brown Jug while I was lying down. And kind of wrapped.
Which is in Zarkana. Spoiler alert, it closes that. That closes the Zarkana.
So now, I mean, obviously, sir, this type of a job is a new thing for you, right? This Cirque experience.
Yeah.
So now, is this something that maybe... that now that you have this sort of relationship, this marriage with Cirque, that it will come to numerous different shows? Or are you kind of feel like, I did this, I'm good, now to move on to something else?
Well, it's like an apprenticeship doing one Cirque show. And I feel like now I know how to do one. Because most of the time I had no idea how to do it. So I would like to do more things in the theatrical or... you know, outside the realms of just pop music and radio music. But I don't know. Music's a trip. It takes you so many different places.
But it really, and especially in Cirque's hands, you can go any which direction with the type of material they put on stage. Mm. What about the musicians that Zarkana employs? How do you have control over who's in the show and the production at that level?
Very much so, yeah. I cast all the band, and I've worked with all of them. And actually, a few of them I've been collaborating with, making records and things like that on the side, and they're fantastic. It's a really good group of people, you know. And I know there's been other shows where musicians have dropped out or they've swapped out, you know. But in this show, everyone's stuck together, and it feels like a band.
Yeah, it's important. This is the crew that's coming out in its entirety from the New York production. Is that right?
Yeah, they did New York, and they did Moscow, and they did Madrid.
Madrid.
And yeah, they're stuck together, you know.
So now that it's been so many places, do you feel like the show's a well-oiled machine, or did you have to adjust and make a lot of changes?
We've done quite a lot of changes here in Vegas. I wrote a new piece, and there's a new act that will be going in at a later date. Like it's sort of a backup act, and it has a real Tarantino vibe to it because I wanted to really pull out that desert song, you know. And I feel that here a lot. I've been writing a lot since I'm here as well. It feels very inspirational, Las Vegas. I didn't think it would be, but
in what environment are you writing in Las Vegas during sake night?
Well, normally the morning after sake night, and I went to the Bellagio Gallery. That was pretty hip.
Oh yeah.
And out into the desert, into Red Rock.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's beautiful.
That's amazing. That blows my mind, that place, actually.
Yeah, it's one of our kind of hidden treasures. People often visit Las Vegas and they look out toward Red Rock Canyon and they ask if it's actually real.
If you like that, you should definitely check out the Valley of Fire.
Yeah, I've heard good things about that, too.
Yeah,
I'm going to try and get out
it's
there.
It's crazy. It's so beautiful. Now, have you seen all the other Cirque shows in town?
I have not seen Chris Angel, but I've seen all the others.
Why not Criss Angel?
I just haven't got tickets yet.
I can get to you. I can get you tickets.
Hook us up.
Cats is
well,
a
I'll take you to see Believe. I want to know what you think of Believe. There's a show that has gone through a lot of changes for the better since it opened here in Las Vegas.
Right on.
But there's a lot of pressure, Nick, I can say from a Las Vegas point of view, on Zarkana to succeed at Aria because it was the site of the one show, as we mentioned, that has had to close here. Do you feel that inside the production, that there's a great deal of emphasis on this show being here for the long haul and maximizing the success in that theater?
We've had such an overwhelmingly positive response to the show, so it feels to me, and I saw Elvis in the last days of Elvis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know, I'm a big Elvis fan, and to a certain extent, I guess maybe I did close my eyes and just listen to Elvis sing to me sweetly and lively like he would.
Yeah.
But I don't know, we put so much into the show, and I feel it's wowed audiences in New York and Moscow, and Vegas is a party town, and people want something that lifts them up and takes them out of the doldrums in their lives or the losses they just had on the floor. So.
yeah, there's a lot of people. But now let's say that I'm a tourist or I'm somebody that has not seen any Cirque shows, and it is kind of overwhelming, I would imagine, from someone who has not seen all of the shows that's just coming into town, that would say, okay, well, there's so many Cirque shows to choose from. Obviously, Zumanity has a much more adult theme to it, so that would kind of rule that one out. And if you're a huge Beatles fan, I can understand why people would go to Love. But when you look at all of the Cirque shows in a whole, what would it be about Zarkana that would kind of set it apart? That what kind of a direction? Like people could say, oh, if you like a lot of water, go see, oh, that type of a thing, if you like that kind of a... So what would be the selling point for Zarkana for someone who is in town that hasn't, that just wants to see a Cirque show but doesn't know which one to see?
I mean, I would say with Zarkana, like, for me, I'm very interested in the other things that you can't explain, you know, the hidden gems and the magic and the subtlety that exists in life that can't quite be explained. And I think Cirque does that better than anything. But Zarkana will take you somewhere you haven't been. And like you say, we have a water show here and we have the Love show, and you kind of know what you're going to get in a lot of these other experiences. Zarkana is going to kind of spin your head, you know?
Mm-hmm. I felt like in seeing the show in New York, it was sort of like a greatest hits package of Cirque. Everything that we've seen from Cirque in some variation, but amplified.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that's one of the things people are going to realize, that Cirque never stays still, does it?
No. And it's interesting, you know, the acts in this show, which we didn't really touch on, each one is kind of a show in itself, you know? Mm-hmm. And you feel it's interesting, once we open to the audience, which is a couple of days ago after the soft opening, you get a real sense of that from a real audience. A Cirque audience, they're very generous and all the rest, but when you get a real Vegas audience, you get this roar that you just don't get. And, you know, in New York and in Moscow, we got great audiences, but there's something here that people just bring out more, you know?
Right.
Like they have that extra reach.
Right. Well, we're very much looking to see how it plays out at Aria, and I'm looking forward to meeting you in person. I don't believe we've actually met, and we'll see.
Yes,
you,
and I have
Friday
to throw
night.
In one thing that you didn't mention, because obviously you named all these wonderful people that he's worked with, but you worked with one of my crushes. That's all I'm going to say, Robbie Williams. So I'm very jealous. I have always loved Robbie Williams's music. I used to import it. I love it. So I'm like, when I read that, I got a little giddy as a girl.
All right.
So tell Robbie I said hi.
Yeah, make sure,
I will.
Make sure
I'll pass it on.
Yeah, during your next sake experience with Robbie. All right. Well, Zarkana is the show, and it is being staged at the Aria at City Center. Check it out. It is mind-blowing. Nick Littlemore is its music director. Nick, thank you very much for spending time with us, and we'll catch up soon.